Okay, it's on. Oh yeah, it's on. Little Snake River's going in number one in the six-man playoffs starting Friday. And because of the weather, I had to paint the field yesterday, and I have to go home right after this and finish painting the field because there's something called winter coming. And the coaches think that that's important to do. So my mind's here right now, and I'm with you. Lynn asked me to do this a while back, and I should have started earlier. My wife's had some surgery. She's been in Denver a couple times, lots of other things, and I go to the doctor where they're thinking I can sit out in the waiting room and I can study. They invite me back in there, and then I don't get to do it. So we go from there. But it's going. We're on the kingdom, and I'm going to warn you right off the top. I am not the best at probably anything, but I'm not the best at topical preaching. I can pick topics, but I usually try to make sure that I have scripture in a couple paragraphs that I can break down to do it. Well, this is a topical sermon, and it's not the way I'm used to doing it. So if it seems a little rough, just get in the boat and keep paddling, okay? Don't stop, okay, so we can get through it. I'm aging myself as I give this first illustration, and I can remember growing up as a kid when pastors would do this. I'd think, man, they really are out of touch with what's going on in the world. And I'm doing it. Popular TV show in the late 50s. How many of us were around? Okay, just a few of us. You'll remember. Okay, how about those in the 60s? We got a few in the 60s? Okay, we're getting a little more. Does anybody remember the show Father Knows Best? Yeah, I'm up with the country here. We got this going, okay? It aired in the 50s and ran through reruns during the 60s in different times. But numbers of times growing up, I would hear people say, you know that your father knows best. Maybe not the movie or the show that it was, but they would talk about dads knowing what's best. I guess most children in that generation and even today wanted to grow up and be like their dad. I don't know about you, but we'd go Christmas tree hunting, and where his foot went in the snow, I wanted to put my foot in the snow. Well, I wasn't as tall as he was, and it was a struggle, but that was my goal, to put my feet where his feet were going. I wanted to grow up and make my dad proud of who I was. I think all of us have probably done that in some way. And I can remember some of the things my dad would share sometimes. And a saying that I can remember him saying and has really played out in my life the last couple years is kind of what I'm going to share next. It was this is what he said. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You ever said that? As a kid growing up, I would kind of think, yeah, but Dad, we're in a new generation now. It's going to be a little different and this and come back. If Dad said that, it usually is right. It didn't always turn out that way. I'm on the board of the ACF, the Assisted Care Facility Board up in Bags, and we were gifted two very large buildings from an oil company worth about $5 million. And it was a place that we could build a place for seniors so that they don't have to leave Bags when they get old enough to not take care of themselves. But you need money to do stuff like that. And we were introduced to a company that does that type of financing. We met with them, they shared their thing and shared what we had to do, and we did our due diligence. We looked up places that they had worked before, and boy, it sounded like this will really work. But I can remember this small voice in the back of my head. If it sounds too good to be true, son, it probably is. We talked about it at our board meetings numbers of times. And finally, we decided to go with it. So we got all our ducks in a row. We turned all of our stuff in and we were accepted. We got a $4 million interest-free loan that if we filled out all their requirements on our building in a timely fashion the way that they did, when we got done, we would owe them nothing. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? It was. We got the first check for $333,000. We got the second check for the same amount. And we got the third. And then after the third, they quit showing up. We got all sorts of excuses from them. And then one day I was sitting out at the football field where I work, and my phone rang, and I didn't recognize the number, and sometimes I just get rid of it. But that time I answered it. And it said, "Is this Paul Prestrud?" And I said, "Yeah, it is. What can I help you with?" He said, "I'm so-and-so with Homeland Security." I was kind of nervous already that I'd done something that probably shouldn't have. And he goes, "Do you know this name?" And I said, "Yeah, that's the person that is giving us money to build our home for our sister, our seniors in our community." He goes, "Well, they're not doing it anymore because they promised us the same thing. And we just picked him up in New Jersey at the airport, and he's in jail and he's going to be there for a long time. And all the money that we gathered up from his 39 companies that he says he has, those within the United States, we do not have near enough money to pay back all the money that people said they would get." I said, "Okay, we'll deal with that. We'll go with that. We'll see what happens." And he said, "Please send us all the information you have. And I've been in contact with people out in San Diego because that's where the thing's going to be." And I got a letter about it maybe a month ago that just said, "Doesn't look good to retrieve any of your money." Our board sat and we met and I said, "You know what? I should have listened to my father. If it's too good to be true, it probably is not true in this world. But there's a kingdom that we are part of and that we will go to, that when the Father says it, it will be true. And I'm looking forward to that. But there's a whole lot of work to be done before we get there. And I'm going to share with you today some of those things that, as part of a book that the director of the PAYS movement, Paul Gibbs, wrote, called Kingdom Centric. And Lynn's been going through it. Lynn is very good at doing those things. He can take a book and he can make sermons out of it. I can take a book and I can make sermons out of that sometimes. And so there's not a passage that you can turn to today to give you everything that I'm going to say. But I can tell you, if the Father said it, it's true. Okay? We'll go from there. I'm touching on serving in the kingdom. The word serving is used 176 times in the New Testament. The Greek word is ergon. And if you're like me, that doesn't mean anything until you go look it up and see what all that means. But it means service. It means work, doing deeds, or labor. So we're talking about doing the work of the kingdom here on earth that God has set us up to do. Ephesians 2:10 is a good verse. You can look it up. I'm just going to read it to you right here. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should work in them. So we're talking about work. We're going to talk collectively about the church at large, not just us right here. But we're part of that collective body of believers. We're part of God's plan. And the church at large is. And I want to give some snapshots that are rather quick about some problems in our ministry and our service here on earth. And I'm going to give some examples from churches. You guys are not any of the illustrations, just so you know, okay? Just letting you know. In the 30-some years I was a pastor, I pastored 3 churches. And I have some stories that if I was going to be a book writer, would be some pretty good stories. But this is one that I wouldn't want in the book. I had a person, a family come to me. They'd been going to our church. And they'd been coming kind of sporadically on and off. Excuse me. I brought my own this time. They're a little heavier. They came, sat down in my office, and they began to tell me some stuff, and they said, you know, our children came into a rather large sum of money from some deaths of grandparents. And we'd like to make a donation to the church. Well, if you're a pastor in a small town, and you hear somebody wants to give you money for your church to be able to go, you kind of get this big smile on your face. And I had that smile, and they kind of went on, and I said, well, okay, that's fine. We would appreciate it, and God will use it, and all of the right things I thought to say. And they said, but we only have a couple requirements. I said, well, what are those requirements? Well, we would like our children's name printed and put in the bulletin that they donated the money from their earnings that they got from deaths of grandparents and tell the story about that. And then we would like to have the amount of the donation put in the bulletin so that people will know exactly where it came from. Now if you're a pastor in a small town and you're sitting on the other side of the desk, things are not near as fun. I was going, what? How are we going to do that? We don't do that. We don't really do that. If you want to give money to put a new roof on the church, you give it and it goes there and we let that do. The right hand doesn't even know what the left hand's doing, and I gave them all the reasons. And they looked at me and said, we'll never be back. Okay. I can deal with that. They were serving God out of feelings. What felt good to me? How's this going to make me look? And in the kingdom, it's God-centric. It's what He's called us to do. The donations are great, and I appreciate everything that is given. But when your feelings are attached to them and it's got to be your way, that's an example or a snapshot of, I think, serving that is not in the right way. How about status? Can it ever get in the way? Yeah. In the 1980s, there was a pastor on TV named Jim Baker, his wife Tammy Faye. They had a very good ministry for a long time, but then things started to change and they started building dog houses that were probably worth more than the trailer that I lived in bags. And then sex got involved and money got involved and status got involved. And in 1987, it was done. They were more concerned about their status than they were the work that God had called them to do, that they did do for a period of time. A divorce came about. He's tried to get back into ministry. I don't follow all that all the time, but his status messed up his ministry, his work, because he was doing it for him instead of for the one who had prepared the good works to do. So we have feelings that get in the way. Status can get in the way from examples. And then there's gifting. We are gifted to do certain things. And it's amazing the gifts that people have, that God has supplied them to use in the ministry of His work. But sometimes people take their gifting and think, I'm the only one that can do this. And they get in places that their gift is working, but it's not what God called them to do. They leave the Father out of their service. They let their gift run them in places, and their gifts are real. But sometimes God might get you in a ministry and have you do something that will shape you in a different direction in your gift. And if you only think you're supposed to be up front and in front of people, and He might want you out digging ditches, then you're not doing the work that is supposed to be. So here are three pictures of ministry or service or mission in the church. We can relate to those. We can remember. We've heard some of those stories that I just shared with you. But now I want to stop and I want to switch a little to His mission. What was Christ's mission? To do the work of the Father. To do what He sent me to do. And boy, was He obedient. He did what the Father asked of Him. I can tell in one spot that He kind of wanted to question it a little bit, but I understand exactly. In the garden, sweating drops of blood and saying, Father, if there's any way You can remove this cup from me, would You please do it? But not my will, Your will. That's service for the kingdom. Jesus came to redeem the lost. He provided life for sinners through His blood on the cross. And when people accept that and begin to live in that, they've entered a kingdom that they are built to serve in. Every one of them. It's important that we get that. The Father sent Him, and Christ sent us to do the work that He has set before us. The church was never set up to redeem anything. That was not our purpose. God, through His Son, does all of that. But He's given us some things that we can do, and He sends us. There's places in the Scripture, in His high priestly prayer, when He says He's praying not just for His disciples, but for all of those that will come along. He's praying for them that they would be good servants in His kingdom and carry out by obedience what God has called them to do. That was in John chapter 17, verse 18. The Father sent His Son, the Son sends us to do His mission. And when somebody sends you, there's authority behind that. and we're under great authority to do the work that God has called us to do. We live in a broken world that still isn't totally redeemed. There's a lot of people that need to know Christ. We have a lot of work set before us. Through Jesus' blood, that relationship can be restored with communion with Him that's been broken by sin. So, I'm going to look at one verse, or two verses really, that give us some pretty good job descriptions that we can make, and it won't deal with status, gifting, or feelings. It's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I've commanded them to do. Make disciples, baptize, teach. That's the mission that He sent us on. There's a lot of work to be done in that in all sorts of ways. As I was going through my time of study, I was looking for illustrations that would help us understand that a little bit more in real world and real time. And I came across a ministry that I look into sometimes. It's called Sports Spectrum. I don't know if you look there, kids that are in sports, if you want to get some really good Christian stuff, look up Sports Spectrum on the internet. They have a magazine, they have a number of things, and they have some tremendous testimonies given by people. And I flipped the switch on my phone, and up came Jonathan Isaac. I don't know if you know Jonathan Isaac. It's a good name. He's about a 6'10 black guy that plays for the Orlando Magic. Made a lot of money. He was the 6th NBA draft choice the year he came out of college in 2020. Tore his ACL, had another serious damage to his knee, and he has sat for 2 years, didn't play a minute. But he's probably one of the best defensive players there are in the NBA when he's at full strength. And I saw this video, and I want Lance to play it for us right now. This is Jonathan Isaac. It goes pretty fast, but we'll get through it.
I don't think you understand how crazy this is going to be. I hadn't signed my contract extension yet. I was praying under my breath, God, let this truly be about you and not about me being in any type of spotlight. To backtrack a little bit, when the riots were taking place, I remember my pastor preaching when Peter lunges forward and cuts off the guy's ear to protect Christ. And Christ said, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And he took that to mean, if we approach this moment in the same way we always have, which is with anger, retaliation, we'll get the same result. I've had some small conversations around the Black Lives Matter movement where I would interject and say, hey, where is there room for grace and for love and forgiveness? And it was like, hey, this isn't what we're doing right now. So I kind of just stayed away from the movement. I didn't think that the rhetoric or the tone was beneficial for change or growth.
A lot of NBA teams at the time, this was a trend that was starting.
Yes.
Don't stand for the national anthem in protest.
Exactly. During the meeting, one of my teammates turned towards me and says, yo, Jonathan, what are you going to do? And I'm just like, I'm not going to kneel. Chaos erupts, and I was just like, I can't throw stones from a glass house. I've fallen short of the glory of God, and I want to step into this moment and offer the gospel, which I believe is the answer for not just racism, but all the things that plague our society. Jesus said if he be lifted up, he would draw men to himself, and I want that to be the message that I share in this moment of divisiveness and chaos. And it felt like he was leading me in that direction. I don't think you understand how crazy this is going to be.
Didn't see anything about status. I saw him said, I want to use the gospel to bring about the change in this world. The gospel is our tool that we work with. It's our shovel. It's our drag line. It's our maintainer. Whatever it is, God has given the gospel to us, and we are commanded to share that. That young man, I did some more study and some research on it. He's playing now in the NBA. He's serving Christ through some difficult times. He's had the serious injuries, 2 years of unable to play, as I said. But he's prioritized his mission to be Christ's mission that he was sent to do. And every one of us sitting in this room has the same commission if we know Christ is our Savior. To make disciples, baptize them, and teach them by sharing the gospel, because it will change things. The gospel must be the priority of our mission work. And when it is, other things will go by the wayside. Therefore, in closing, I want to share a quote from Jonathan Isaac and then do just a couple other things. This was in the magazine Sports Spectrum. "Me still playing is bigger than basketball for me. It's a testimony to God's power, His mercy, His favor. Guys, we've got a kingdom to build here." That's his quote. We have a kingdom to build here. So we've been sent by Christ. We've been called. There's authority behind us. We need to make sure that the kingdom and the gospel are the tools that we use. Not our feelings, not our status, not the things that we think we're good at. We must let God work in our lives, chisel us and make us what He wants us to be, that we can best spread the news of Jesus Christ to a lost world. As an elder in the journey, I want to recognize some kingdom builders. Last Sunday, 145 people, 43 projects done by one body of Christ in this town. That's kingdom building right there. For all of you that did that, I worked on my portion on this sermon last Sunday, so I wasn't here. Nursery workers, thank you for taking care of kids. Thanks for your heart's desire to change diapers and not be standing right here. It's not about status. It's about what God gives us to do. So thank you, nursery workers, for what you do. Small group leaders, thanks for doing that. Hosts that do those things in their homes, great job. Keep it up. How about the women's conference coming up and the number of women that are behind getting all that done? Good job. Keep building the kingdom. Committee members, thank you for giving of your time to enlarge the kingdom here on earth. Those who count the offering, clean the bathrooms, greeters, ushers, sound people in the back, Nadine for all that she does, elders, stewards, for all your service. Keep it up. Make sure that the gospel and the kingdom are the driving force behind those things. All of you that serve in various ways, youth group leaders, helpers, the ministry of Awana. What a tremendous way to reach people for Christ through the Word of God and the gospel. Keep it up. Thank you for doing those things. Thanks for the people that serve in this body. Our job is not accomplished like Jesus said His was. We have a lot of work to do, and it takes a lot of people to do it. So thank you all that help in this church and serve and do the jobs. And I didn't think this up, but Jesus did. And He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for Him, for them, for you, and lost people. We have a pattern to follow, that of Jesus Christ in our service. Joe, come up and serve us again with acid rock or whatever it is that Dave wants you to do.